From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is worthy to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. It's good to be in the house of worship, isn't it? It's good to be in church. A lot of the places you could be, but to be in the house of the Lord, the tabernacle of praise, is certainly a blessing from the Lord. How many of you know there's some folk who didn't wake up this morning? And there's some folk who didn't go to bed last night. And if the Lord has spared your life one more time, it's worth another praise offering in the name of the Lord Jesus. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. We greet you in with Jesus' joy. It's certainly a privilege and a blessing to stand before the people of God one more time. We certainly are excited to have Mayor Eric Jackson with us and his entourage, his cabinet. Give the Lord a praise offering for the mayor. To God be the glory, Mayor. And to all of the brothers and sisters who've been elected and appointed to serve the people. That's what they've been called to do, to serve the people. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet, turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew. As you're standing, we're excited to support the mayor on what is to be, I think, an annual event, the annual Christmas in the Capital City concert at the War Memorial Building on December 20th. So all of you who are listening out on the radio and here in the sanctuary, we want you to come worship the Lord. And I think it is a great thing when the mayor calls the people to come and worship God. Amen? That's a beautiful thing. So December 20th, we'll be saying more and e-blasting that, getting the word out to share in this great event. So it's good to have our mayor with us today. Matthew chapter 2. I want to read the first 11 verses of this text. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. But out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east before them went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, and the title of today's sermon, The True Meaning of Worship. And this is the fourth iteration of this sermon series, The True Meaning of Worship, part number 4. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you extending ourselves, humbling ourselves, asking that you would continue to tabernacle in this place. We're thankful that you've already been here. The choir, you've used the choir. You've used the ministers to pray. You've used the leaders to usher us into worship. And now that you've allowed us to be here with you, we simply ask that you would order our footsteps, regulate our minds, direct our paths, and stretch us that we may receive your holy and divine word. Let the anointing continue to fall fresh in this place, O God. And we shall be ever careful to give your name glory, praise, and honor in the blessed, righteous, and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're grateful to the Lord for the manifold blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Today is the first Sunday, or the second Sunday of Advent. Ushers, you may be seated. The second Sunday of Advent. And if you look in your bulletin, you will see on the page, the middle flap, lectionary readings from this second Sunday of Advent. And those lectionary readings are there every week, and we try to give you a sense of what the scriptures say about particular seasons of the year. And although the Mark 1 text is not the text I've read, it does speak to the fact that Jesus's birth is nigh. Matthew chapter 2, the text I've just read, is a classic Advent text. The season of Advent is the start of a new liturgical year, and it goes from Advent to Epiphany, Epiphany, which is the first 6 days of the year through January 6th, then turns into shortly thereafter Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten season. The beginning of the Lenten season stretches those 40 days, and then we move from there into the Holy Week season. And then the passion of the Christ and the crucifixion of the Lord on Good Friday and the resurrection of our Savior on that Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. And then we go from resurrection to Pentecost, and then Pentecost to a general season, which is usually the summer months of June, July, August, September. And then we round back the liturgical clock towards another season of Advent. And so I want to keep reminding us, because even in the midst of this worship series, the Lord has allowed a sermon today to both fit the theme of worship, or the theme of Advent, but continue the theme of worship that we have been addressing and looking at in our text. And so, beloved, it is my prayer that we continue to think about and ruminate on and reflect on what are these meanings of worship. I've preached three sermon series so far in this sermon series around worship. And the first of those is, what is worship? And I've given you this outline, if you would, of how we're going to progress through this series over the course of these past weeks and into these current weeks. And so the first 3 weeks, November 2nd, November 9th, November 16th, we discuss what is worship and who are the believers of God, the children of God. And today we're going to move into what and who do we worship. And then if the Lord spares our lives next week, how do we worship? The following week, when do we worship? And the following week thereafter, why do we worship? So this multiple part sermon series on worship is something that I invite you to continue to consider. The definition of worship has been this formula that I've devised. The Lord spoke it to me, and so I'm giving it to you as the Lord has given it unto me, that worship is the sum total of our praise, our prayer, our proclamation, and our piety, these four P's, multiplied by spirit and truth. Remember, one of the pivotal texts that I've given as, or scripture that I've given in this worship series has been out of John chapter 4, verse 24, when Jesus encounters the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says to her in a series of exchanges, right, that there will come a time where you nor us will worship on this mountain or any other mountain, that we'll worship God in the spirit of holiness, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that then led me to this conversation. That's what worship is, spirit. It involves truth. It involves praise. It involves prayer. It involves piety in how we live. It involves proclamation. But at the end of the day, it is this notion, are we living it and worshiping God in spirit and in truth? How many of you know there's some folk who may worship, but they may be worshiping so other folk can see them worship? Amen, somebody. They do a great job of worshiping on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you may not know they really are saved. And so the reality is that worship is something that extends outside of the four walls. In point of fact, I'd rather you come in here, get a fueling, and then go back out to worship him even more. In point of fact, you are to worship him loudest Monday through Saturday, so that Sunday you just come in to get your gas tank filled again to go back and worship him. Amen, somebody. And so worship ought not be something that we reserve only for Sunday morning. Worship not only be something we reserve when we come into the four sanctified walls and sit on the plush pews inside and gaze at the stained glass windows. No, worship is something that we do when we leave the building, because the building is not the church. The church is inside of us. And so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Last week, or several weeks ago, we talked about who are the true followers of God. And I gave you this statement that the children of God are the believers. The children of God are the disciples. The children of God are the worshipers. And so if you are a child of God, you've got to believe that Jesus is Lord. If you are a child of God, you've got to be a disciple and say, I'm going to follow him. And if you are a child of God, you've got to say, I don't care who doesn't like it. I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care who's not looking at me. I'm going to worship him in spirit and in truth, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. And you don't know like I know how he set me free. Has God done anything for anybody sitting in this sanctuary on this Sunday morning, on this first Sunday in December? If the Lord has touched your wife, if the Lord has touched your husband, if the Lord has touched your children, if the Lord has healed your body, if the Lord has kept a roof over your head, if the Lord has put food on your table, if the Lord has put clothes on your back, if the Lord gave you a job after you were unemployed, if the Lord has made you the mayor, if the Lord has allowed you to be with the mayor, if the Lord has got some breath up in your body, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So worship is not contingent on people. Worship is predicated upon your relationship with God. Do I have a witness up in here? Don't let anybody rob you of your ability to worship. I'm not talking about my ushers, but if you go to some other church and you've got some undulating ushers who don't have a right spirit, you just walk right by them. If you've got some precocious preachers, walk right by them. If you've got some deacons not acting right, walk right by them. Because you've got to say, I'm not here to worship you. I'm here to worship the Lord. Worship. Listen to me. This is why this is so, the Lord has impressed this upon me. Those who worship him, presumably us, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You've got to be a believer. You've got to be a disciple. And you've got to be a worshiper. I don't care what other title you have in the church. You better believe. You better follow. And you better worship. And so we've established what is worship. We've established who should be worshiping. Now I want to remind us who is the object of our worship. And as I look at the scriptures, I'm reminded of this Greek word. Because in the New Testament, the Greek word that you find in various texts, I'm going to show you in a moment, is the word proskuneo. In Hebrew, the word is shakach. Both of these words literally mean to lay down, to lie down, to fall down. In point of fact, if you just look at the etymology of the anglicized word, of the Greek word, proskuneo, you can almost understand how we get to prostrate from proskuneo. P-R-O-S, proskuneo, morphs over time into the anglicized English word prostrate, which means what? To lie down flat. And so that is different from the word barak, the other words of praise. Barak means to kneel. Shabak means to shout. Todah means to lift your hands. Yada means to lift your hands. But proskuneo in the Hebrew, or shakak in the, excuse me, proskuneo in the Greek and shakak in the Hebrew means something entirely different. And I love the physicality of the word. For it's one thing to raise your hands to God. I'm not saying it's easy, because a lot of us don't even do that. But every now and again, you ought to raise your hand. If you've been to a basketball game, if you've been to a football game, your favorite running back, your favorite jumpsuiter shoots the ball, scores the touchdown. What do most of us do? We're quick to raise our hands for a football player. We're quick to raise our hands for a basketball player. But the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who died for your sins, rose again from the dead. A lot of us are too cute to raise our hands. And if you can raise your hands for Shaquille O'Neal and for LeBron James, you better raise your hands for Jesus. For LeBron didn't die on the cross. Shaquille didn't die on the cross. But I'm so glad today that Jesus paid it all. And every now and again, I ought to raise my hands, man, to say, I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. If you don't raise your hands to praise him, just go ahead and raise them to point up that you know that your help comes from the hills. So yada, toda, good. But Barak is kneeling. And so the physicality says to me, I can lift my hands. I can yoda, yada, and toda. I can kneel. That's Barak. But it's a whole nother thing when I fall out. And from a position where I've given God everything I had to give him, there's nothing else to give. I'm so slain in the spirit that I say, Lord, everything belongs to you. Everything is yours. Everything I have, I give it unto you, Lord. I surrender all. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm trying to simply tell you what the Word says. When you fall out, when you're lying flat, and you say, Lord, there's nothing greater than you. There's nothing bigger than you. There's nothing above you. There's nothing beside you. There's nothing in front of you. There's nothing in back of you. I give it all to you. I know some of y'all are still too cute. I know. But if you can ever get to a point in your life well, you don't mind falling out for the Lord. If you can ever get to a point in your life where you don't mind running your pantyhose, messing with your toupee, letting your mascara run. If you can ever get to a point in your life where you can give it all to Him. That's what proskuneo means. I'm going to lay down, fall out before you as an example of my humility, my submission. There's nobody I bow to but you. Proskuneo, Shekak. Who is the object of our worship? God alone is the object of our worship. And we see this in the text. For you see, if you look at the text that I put before you today, why worship is such an important... I was initially hooked on praise. But God quickly took me to worship. Because in the scriptures, and let me just demonstrate it to you with what we've read today. The Bible says it was heard that Jesus was born. And in Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 2, the wise men asked the question, where is he born? Or Herod asked the question, where is he who has been born King of the Kings? And these wise men, if you look in chapter 2, verse number 2, they came from the east saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we have come to what? Worship him. They've already believed. Whatever has caused them to believe, they've already done that. They have already demonstrated their willingness to follow him, because when you see him, you go to him, you are following towards him. But the object of their action was now to simply worship him. If you keep reading in verse number 11, it says in chapter 2, verse 11, and when they had come into the house, listen, I can't skip this. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They followed the star. The star stopped over the house. But before they even got into the house, come on somebody, they began to worship. They began to rejoice with exceedingly great joy. You're missing the point. Even before they got into the house, they began to get their praise on. Before they entered into the house, they began to rejoice with exceedingly great joy. I need some folk that when they wake up on Sunday morning, they've already got a mind to worship him. I need some folk who when they park their car and turn their car off, they're getting excited about coming into the house. I need some folk when they walk up the steps, I'm ready to praise the Lord, so that when you come into the house, when you come into the house, you don't need Betty and Aaron
Brandon and Alistair and Wayne to play the instruments and sing the choir song for you to start praising him. But when they came into the house, what does the scripture say? They bowed down. In the Greek, it's proskuneo. They bowed down. A lot of us look at the imagery and they kneel. No, that's Barak. They didn't just kneel. They laid down before the master. And they worshiped him. The text is clear. The word worship is something you've got to grapple with. If you've never really worshiped him, I need you to wrestle with, Lord, make me a better worshiper. I don't want you to pray, Lord, make me a better deacon. Lord, make me a better trustee. No, I don't want you to pray, Lord, make me a better choir member. Make me a better usher. No, make me a better worshiper. Because let me let you in on a little secret. If you are a better worshiper, you're going to be a better deacon. If you are a better worshiper, you're going to be a better choir member. If you're a better worshiper, you're going to be a better usher. If you're a better worshiper, you're going to be a better deaconess. Maybe I'm talking to myself. And so now I'm asking God, don't make me a better preacher. Don't make me a better pastor. Make me a better worshiper. Because if I know who the object of my worship is, then I want to be a better believer and disciple and follower. And so I think we need to take a lesson from the text. They worshiped him. And if I can just run you through this for the next 10 minutes, I want to just help you understand what some of the scriptures say. Who do we worship? The commandments go all the way back to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4. You shall not make a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, heaven above, or earth beneath, or the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down. Remember, that word bow down in the Hebrew is not Barak. It's Shikak. You should not lay down. Listen now. You should not lay down with. Some of y'all got it. You should not lie down with, before, or next to anything or anybody that you put over me. Put it back up there. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto their children. God is jealous. He wants your worship. He desires your worship. He demands your worship. But he's given us free will. He demands it. He commands it. But it doesn't make you do it. He invites you to. And I believe that if the true believers really understood who he is and all that he's done for you, you wouldn't be so stingy with your worship. The text goes on to say, so that's who we do worship. Who do we don't worship? Jesus gives us a clue, even at the beginning of his ministry, when he was tempted in the 40 days in the wilderness, and the devil says, if you would turn this bread, these stones into bread, and Jesus says, it is written in the word that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan then takes him up to a high mountain and says, if you would just bow down and worship me. The Lord Jesus says to the devil, he says in Matthew chapter 4, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Worship God. Don't worship the devil. Now, that sounds easier. More easier said than done. But the devil is seditious. He is salacious. And he will tempt you. And if he can't get you one way, he'll try to go around another way. And the whole object of his action is to stop you from worshiping God. And part of the fact, he really wants you to worship him. But he knows, I'll take second best, which is, if they're not worshiping me, but they're not worshiping him, they really are worshiping me. So if I can just keep them from worshiping him, God, then I've done my job. And so therefore, Jesus gives us a clear sense of, God tells us in the old, who to worship. Jesus gives us a sense and a reminder who not to worship. We also reminded that we should not worship people. Acts chapter 10, verse number 25 talks about Cornelius, the centurion, who was thankful for the healing of his child. Read the text at your leisure. And it says that as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him at the door and fell down. There's that word proskuneo again. And fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter, who did what he should have done, and said, brother, stand up. I'm a man just like you. And part of fact, what he was saying is, don't worship me. Worship the God that has used me today. And I'm just stopped by to tell somebody, don't worship Pastor Armstrong. Don't worship the deacons. Don't get all bent out of shape when people in the church don't do what they're supposed to do. But when you worship God and give God all your affection, it doesn't matter what people do or don't do. You understand that all of your blessings come from the Lord. See, Peter could have stolen God's worship. He could have done it. Because Peter was the human agent God used to heal Cornelius' child, a servant. And the scripture gives us a very clear statement. Peter understands that's blasphemy if I rob God of God's worship. And I don't need any of you putting me in a position where I'm trying to rob God. Because I know who I am. I know whose I am. I also know who I'm not. I don't have a heaven or a Sheol to put you in. I can't heal your body unless the Lord gives me the power. I can't help your children unless the Lord gives me the power. And if by chance God uses me to be a blessing to somebody up in here, you better not tell me thank you. You better thank the Lord. You better give God glory and you better give God praise. I had nothing to do with it. I'm only an instrument of God's divine use. And that goes for all of us. That if any of us put another human being in the position of looking at me versus looking at God, you are bordering on blasphemy. And I know what I'm talking about because I see it happening every day. Folk up in the church want to make them the gatekeeper between somebody else and God. Yeah, they want them to come to them in order to get to God. But the Bible I read says, approach the throne of grace boldly, for yourself. You don't have to have a preacher there. You don't have to have a deacon there. You don't have to have a deaconess there, a missionary there, a choir member there. Approach the throne of grace boldly for yourself, that you may find help in your time of need. And so if I or any of us try to stand as a gatekeeper to God between God's people, we are bordering on blasphemy. Peter reminds us that you don't worship man. Jesus tells us you worship God and you don't worship the devil. The Bible goes on to tell us that at the end of days, that people are to worship, all nations shall fall down and worship God. Psalm 22 verse 27 says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. I'm talking about America. I'm talking about Iraq. I'm talking about Afghanistan. I'm talking about Ukraine. I'm talking about North Korea, South Korea, China, Brazil, Taiwan, Vietnam, India, Pakistan, New Zealand, Australia, Cameroon, Liberia, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Kenya, Algeria, Libya, Spain, Portugal, France, England, America, Mexico, Honduras. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about all the nations. Shall bow down and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm 97 verse 7 says, let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Angels shall worship the Lord. Hebrews 1:6 says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says that all the angels of God worship him. And even into the New Testament book of Revelation, I love this. For whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, Revelation chapter 4, verse number 10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist that were created. The scriptures gives us scripture after scripture of what it means to bow down and worship the King of Kings. As I go back to my original text, Matthew chapter 2, I love the story, because these three wise men weren't told by anybody. They saw something for themselves. And when you are in tune with the Master, you don't have to rely on somebody else's story. You don't have to rely on somebody else's report. Something has just stirred in the atmosphere. Something has just interrupted the normalcy of your day. And you are compelled to go find, where is Jesus? Come on, somebody. And I need somebody here who's willing to take a journey to go find where Jesus is. I'm talking about a father who's willing to get up and go search for Jesus. I'm talking about a wife who's willing to say, I'm tired of doing the same old thing. I'm going to get up and go find where Jesus is. I'm talking about a church that's tired of going through the motions. I heard I feel that Jesus is in the atmosphere. I want to get up from where I am. I want to go find where he is. And you're willing to go on a journey that will take you over high mountains, a journey that'll take you down through low valleys, a journey that'll take you through hot desert experiences, because you know that you're looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anybody willing to go on a journey? Anybody willing to look for Jesus? Anybody willing to stop doing the same old? Anybody willing to go find where the master is? Anybody here willing to lift up your hands and give God some praise? Anybody here willing to get out of your comfort zone and go search for Jesus? Anybody here? And when they found a star, they came into the house, they fell down, and they worshiped him. And what happened afterwards was they got up, and being divinely warned, listen now, when the devil is upset with you, for trying to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, don't be surprised when stuff start going wrong. Don't be surprised when things start happening. Don't be surprised when all manner of attacks start coming your way. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you bow down to the master. The lower you go on your face, the more the devil's going to try to mess up your world. But I need somebody here who's willing to stand on the promises and say, I don't care what the devil tries to do. I've come to worship. I've come to bow down. I've come to lift up God. I've come to lift him up. I've come to worship him. The Bible says, being divinely warned, they went another way. Because they knew that if they went back to where they came from, the devil would do something dastardly. I need somebody here who's willing to worship him, get up, and go another way. Don't go back to where you came from. Because if the Lord has been good to you, you ought not go back. You ought to go forward and go do what they said in that Christmas song. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Does anybody here have a willingness to go tell somebody that Jesus is coming? Jesus is on his way. Jesus is about to be born. Jesus is here. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. The shepherds, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, give us a paradigm of what true worship is. They brought their stuff, their gold, their frankincense, their myrrh. They laid it before Jesus. But they didn't just give him stuff. They lay down. God doesn't want your stuff without your true worship. If you're not willing to worship, keep your stuff. Because your stuff doesn't mean a thing if your worship is not there. If you're not willing to give him you, keep your stuff. Keep your gold. Keep your frankincense. Keep your myrrh. He wants you to bow down to him and to to worship him. Let the church say amen today. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. Everyone standing to their feet, deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation. Listen, I don't know who I was speaking to today, but I hope the message resonates loud and clear. Hope it resonates. I hope that we all are just dumbfounded and confounded by the charge to worship God. The Bible is clear. I don't think I can make it any clearer. I hope the Spirit continues to make it clear for all of us that when you forget about people and things, circumstances, worship him, lay down before him, that God will begin to do miracles in your life. So today, if you're here, I don't know who you are. If you're here today, I invite you to come forward. God wants you. He doesn't want your stuff. He'll take your stuff only after he has you. And if someone here today is willing to give him you, then just step forward.
Amen.
Look at God today. Look
Amen.
At God today. Look at God. Look at God. I think there may be another. I think there may be another today. If the Lord is speaking to you, the choir is going to sing in a moment. If you want to join the church, this is the time to do it. If you know Jesus already, I praise the Lord for that. If you know him already and you want to join the church, you've been out of a church, you've been out of fellowship, I invite you to come. But more importantly, I invite someone to give God you, to really make a decision to surrender, to lay down and say, Lord, I've reached the bottom of the barrel. I can't do it anymore. I can't make it happen. I can't open the door by myself. I'm bumping my head up against the wall. I just surrender. Complete surrender. And if you're willing to make that statement today to God, I believe God is willing to do something powerful in your life. Look at God. Give God a praise offering for our sister today. Right down. Look at God. God is doing it. God is moving. Look at God. Look at God over to the left. Somebody give God. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice. Come on, somebody. It's down. Isn't that beautiful? Sister, walk with a sister. Say, come on, I'll walk with you down the aisle. You don't have to do this by yourself. I believe somebody else here. Go ahead and sing quiet. As they sing, let the Spirit of the Lord move in this place. Let the Spirit of the Lord move in this place. Lift up your voice. Bless the Lord. Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today? Stretch your hands towards the heaven and give God glory and give God praise. You know the song with the choir. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with waving your hands before the Lord. Come on, come on, choir. Lift up your voice. Anybody here? Anybody else here?
To worship you, I live. Nothing wrong with risen.
To worship you, I live to worship you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Somebody
thank you, Lord.
To worship you.
To worship you.
Nothing wrong.
I live
to worship
you.
To worship you. I live to worship you.
become a better worshiper. I want to become a better worshiper, God. I want to become a better worshiper. Come on, come on. I want to hear the war cry. I want to hear the war cry.
Find the words to
lift up your voice.
From the deepest part in your body, from the deepest part in your soul, sing, oh. Just lift your voice up. Cry out.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name.